This is Serenade Radio with the best in easy listening. Now here's Mark Stein with Stein's Song of the Week.
We've talked before about the propensity of American politicians for writing songs. For example, by the mayor of New York City, James J. Walker.
Will you love me in December as you do in May? Will you love me in the good old-fashioned way?
A blockbuster hit in 1906. And how about this? Words and music by the legendary governor of Louisiana, Jimmy Davis.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
Hits by mayors, hits by governors. This one's by longtime Republican senator for Utah, Orrin Hatch. He wrote it for longtime Democrat Senator Ted Kennedy.
We are souls along the way. In my heart you stay. You know my secret.
I should clarify that Senator Hatch wrote that for Senator Kennedy and his new wife. It's not Orrin's love song to Ted. That would be way too bipartisan. And certainly Ted Kennedy never reciprocated and wrote a love song for Orrin Hatch. It didn't do much on the hit parade, but it is in the film Ocean's 12 with George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Julia Roberts, et al. So songs by mayors, governors, senators. How about a hit song by a presidential candidate? A number one, in fact.
This old house once knew his children. This old house once knew his wife. This old house was home and comfort as they fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house heard many shouts. Now he trembles in the darkness when the lightning walks about.
Rosemary Clooney sings music and lyrics by Stuart Hamblin, the presidential nominee of the Prohibition Party in 1952. Ah, but Mr. Hamblin lost to Dwight Eisenhower. It wasn't close. So is there any hit song written by a candidate on a winning presidential ticket? Why? Yes, there is.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know as love. And your future's looking dim, but these things your hearts can rise above. Once in a while he won't call, but it's all in the game. Soon he'll be there at your side with a sweet. And he'll kiss your lips and caress your waiting fingertips, and your heart will fly.
That's Rosemary Clooney's kid sister, Betty. So between that and this old house, Rosie and Betty are the only sisters in the history of humanity to have two hits by candidates on a presidential ticket. That song is also the only American number one and the only British number one to be written by a Nobel Peace Prize winner. A song so popular it's been in and out of the charts pretty much every few years for seven decades. Everyone sung it. The beloved Australian heartthrob we have all adored since Neighbours.
You have words with him, and your future's looking dim. But these things your heart can rise above.
Jason Donovan. And the 1980s pop reggae band named after the UK government form for unemployment benefits.
Once in a while he won't call, but it's all in the game. Soon he'll be there at your side with a sweet bouquet.
UB40. And the indestructible American funkmeister George Clinton.
He'll kiss
your lips
and caress your waiting fingertips, and your heart will fly away.
Jason Donovan, UB40, and George Clinton and his Gangsters of Love, featuring Belita Woods of P-Funk. And those three versions out of hundreds all came from the very same year, 2008. By which time, that tune was already 97 years old. The man who wrote it was Charles Gates Dawes, a one-hit composer better known as Vice President of the United States under Calvin Coolidge. Well, okay, not exactly better known, even at the time. Vice presidents are pretty obscure. Still, in the pantheon of Millard Fillmore, Hannibal Hamlin, Alban Barkley, and Spiro Agnew, It's All in the Game can reasonably claim to be the most enduring vice presidential legacy of all. Dawes was born in Marietta, Ohio in 1865 into a distinguished family. His father was the great Civil War general, Rufus Dawes, and his great-great-grandfather was the Revolutionary War hero, William Dawes, one of the two men who rode from Boston to Lexington on the night of April 18, 1775, to warn John Hancock and Samuel Adams that the British were a-coming. Although it's the other midnight rider, Paul Revere, to whom posterity has accorded all but sole credit. Mainly, it appears, because Longfellow thought the name Revere more poetic than Dawes, and everybody else has followed suit.
When Paul Revere went riding while the stars were burning bright, it was all in a night's work.
A century after that midnight ride, William Dawes' great-great-grandson Charles was enjoying a quiet childhood in Marietta, Ohio, and eventually decided to become a lawyer. By the 1890s, he was in the utilities business, serving as president of the La Crosse Gaslight Company in Wisconsin and of the Northwestern Gaslight and Coke Company in Evanston, Illinois. And at that point, politics beckoned. In the 1896 election, Dawes was put in charge of the Republican presidential campaign in the western states. After duly delivering victory to William McKinley, he was offered a post in the cabinet, but turned it down and returned to banking. If all that makes him sound a bit of a dry old stick, not so. Charles Dawes was a self-taught pianist and flautist, and in 1911 he wrote a melody in A major that he called, with banker's imagination, Melody in A Major. It's just the tune that I got in my head, recalled Dawes, so I set it down. All in one session at the piano in the drawing room at his lakeside home in Evanston. He played it for a friend, the violinist Francis McMillan. And unbeknownst to the composer, McMillan took it to a music publisher in Chicago. No one told me, said Dawes. I was walking down State Street and came to a music shop. I saw a poster-sized picture of myself, my name plastered all over the window in large letters. Which certainly never happened when he was vice president. The tune was a bona fide hit, and the banker developed a taste for somewhat heavy-handed self-deprecation. I know that I will be the target of my punster friends, he said. They will say that if all the notes in my bank are as bad as my musical ones, they are not worth the paper they were written on. Well, in music as in finance, it's not so much the notes as what you do with them. And what Dawes did in his little melody is very appealing. The star violinist of the day, Fritz Kreisler, took it up as his regular encore. By this time, the composer himself was getting a little sick of the tune. General Sherman, with justifiable profanity, once expressed his detestation of the tune Marching Through Georgia, to which he was compelled to listen whenever he appeared anywhere, grumbled Dawes. I sympathize with his feeling when I listen to this piece of mine over and over. If it had not been fairly good music, I should have been subjected to unlimited ridicule. Meanwhile, Charles Dawes' non-musical career was going gangbusters. He served as President Harding's director of the budget, devised the Dawes Plan on German war reparations, and shared the 1925 Nobel Peace Prize with the British Foreign Secretary, Sir Austen Chamberlain. Campaigning in 1924 as Calvin Coolidge's running mate, he was a colourful fellow, partial to strange collars and an upside-down pipe. But the crowds liked him.
Keep cool and keep Coolidge is the slogan of today. Keep cool and keep Coolidge for the good old USA.
Hooray!
A lot of politicians cannot do a thing but knock. But Calvin Coolidge is the man of action and not talk.
So just keep cool and keep Coolidge in the White House 4 years more. We have a chance to do it in this year of 24. He's been tried, he's never wanting, he is giving of his best. Keep cool and keep Coolidge is our country's mighty test.
Was elected on November the 5th, 1924, and can stake a persuasive claim to being the most obnoxious vice president in history. Even before they took office, he sent a rude letter to his supposed boss, President Coolidge, saying he wouldn't be showing up to cabinet meetings. By 1928, when Coolidge announced his decision not to run again, he and his vice president so loathed each other that the president let it be known to the party that he would regard it as a personal affront if they nominated Dawes, not just for president, but for a second term as vice president. So he left for London and a tour as ambassador to the Court of St. James's, in which capacity he moved on from annoying the president to annoying King George V by declining to wear knee breeches and complaining about having to introduce American debutantes at the palace. How odd that a master of such world-class crankiness should be best known as the composer of a beguilingly romantic tune. Dawes' melody faded a little in the 30s, but 3 decades after its first success, it was still seductive enough to appeal to Tommy Dorsey. I believe it was Dorsey's recording that brought the tune to Carl Sigmund's attention. Carl Sigmund was then in the early days of what would prove a long career. You don't know his name? Well, sometimes he wrote music, sometimes he wrote lyrics, sometimes he wrote both. And an awful lot of the time, he wrote hits, big hits. In the old days, if I ever brought up a songwriter I liked to Sammy Kahn, Sammy would respond coolly, "Sing me his medley." Well, Carl Sigmund has a hell of a medley. A day in the life of a fool. The day that the rains came down. Your kisses take me to Shangri-La. What now, my love? My heart cries for you. It's a marshmallow world. An incredible catalogue. Where do I begin?
Where do I begin to tell the story of how great a love can be? The sweet love story that is older than the sea. The simple truth about the love she brings to me. Where do I start?
This was one of his first big numbers, 5 figures. Wrote that and
bongo bongo bongo, I don't wanna leave the Congo, oh no 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 no. Bingo bango bongo, I'm so happy in the jungle I refuse to go.
And
first the tide rushes in, plants a kiss on the shore,
and
a river there, Chiruma, goodbye, goodbye to Rome,
and
crazy he calls me, sure I'm crazy. Crazy in love, am I?
And
answer me, oh my love, just what sin have I been guilty of?
And
dance, ballerina, dance, and do your pirouette in rhythm with your aching heart.
And
you're my world, you're every breath I take. You're my world, you're every move I make.
And of course,
Robin Hood, Robin Hood, riding through the glen. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, with his band of men.
Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood,
Robin Hood,
Robin Hood,
Robin Hood,
Robin Hood,
Robin Hood.
Carl Sigmund could get a hit out of anything. Kids' TV show themes, ballads, novelty songs, Anglo versions of Europop. And so 4 decades after an Illinois banker sat down and wrote a melody called Melody, Carl Sigmund put words to it and gave it a proper title.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know as love. You have words with him, and your future's looking dim, but these things your hearts can rise above.
In 1951, Dinah Shore, Sammy Kaye, and Carmen Cavallaro all picked up on It's All in the Game. But my favourite version from those early years is Gordon Jenkins' very formal arrangement, very stately, for Nat King Cole.
Once in a while he won't call, but it's all in the game. Soon he'll be there at your side with a sweet bouquet. And he'll kiss your lips and caress your waiting fingertips, and your heart will fly away.
It belongs to a group of 50s ballads, unforgettable, When I Fall in Love, that Nat Cole brought a very distinctive romantic dignity to. Yet his wasn't the hit. That honour went to a lesser balladeer called Tommy Edwards, whose smooth recording got to number 18 in 1951.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know as love. You have words with him, and your future's looking dim.
By 1958, it was Tommy Edwards' future that was looking dim. MGM Records was ready to drop him. But with one session left under his contract, he was asked by the label to re-record his biggest hit in the new stereo format. Instead of using the 1951 arrangement, Edwards recorded it as a semi-rock and roll ballad with an insistent accompaniment and melodramatic chorus. The new version of Vice President Dawes' tune proved so popular that it was number one in both America and Britain in 1958. And topping the charts during the Eisenhower administration isn't bad for a tune written by Coolidge's Veep during the Taft administration.
Once in a while he won't call, but it's all in the game. Your side with a sweet bouquet, and he'll kiss your lips and caress your waiting fingertips, and your heart will fly away.
Tommy Edwards' success with All in the Game started a lively fad for rock ballad versions of pre-rock hits. Who's Sorry Now by Connie Francis, Everybody Loves Somebody Sometime. But because It's All in the Game was never that boffo in its previous incarnation, its own fate was rather different. Despite being concocted by Carl Sigmund, the quintessential jobbing Tin Pan Alleyman, it was embraced as an authentic R&B ballad, and the pop crowd never left it alone. In Britain, Cliff Richard got to number two with it in the 60s, and the Four Tops put it back in the top five in the 70s. And Van Morrison wrung so much juice out of it on the eve of the 80s that the critic Dave Marsh included Sivan's interpretation as one of the indispensable 1001 rock singles of all time.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game, child. Settle in the wonderful game.
All right.
Here we know as love. You had words with him, and your future's looking dim. But these things your heart rise above. Once in a while, he won't call. He won't call. But I heard you. It's all in the game. Soon he will be there with a small bouquet. He will. And he will kiss your lips. You and just like that, touch you. Yeah, and your heart will, yeah, fly away.
Carl Sigmund was a very skilled songwriter and particularly good at images that don't seem terribly interesting on the page but have a palpable yearning when they're set to their notes. Once in a while he won't call, but it's all in the game. Soon he'll be there at your side with a sweet bouquet, and he'll kiss your lips and caress your waiting fingertips, and your heart will fly away. That last line is just lovely. The tune itself seems to fly away under the words. What would Charles Gates Dawes have made of Van Morrison, or Isaac Hayes, or Engelbert Humperdinck, or UB40? He never heard any of them. He never heard Carl Sigmund's words. He died at the age of 85 in April 1951, 6 months before Tommy Edwards' first version made the hit parade and Melody in A Major began its new life as It's All in the Game. Perhaps the lyric would have tickled his fancy as an appropriate adornment for what he called his fairly good music. It is indeed fairly good music. I'm often asked when I mention Charles Gates Dawes whether he wrote anything else. Why, certainly. He wrote The Banking System of the United States and Its Relation to the Money and Business of the United States. Snappy title. Don't know it? I'll hum a few bars and you can take it from there. So yes, plenty of other writing, books on finance and war reparations and the federal budget, but nothing you'd want to hear Elton John
sing. And your heart will fly away.
Stein's Song of the Week was presented by Mark Stein and created for Serenade Radio by Brian Savin.